to dangers, toils, and snares. We're working on alternating between the dangers and the snares and the toils. So toils are up this week. I want you to begin today with a little self-evaluation. I want you to evaluate yourself on how well do you think you handle life. So how well do you think you handle life? I mean, are you a happy camper? Are you a crabby camper? Do you spend too much time being anxious, being stressed, being worried, or you spend just the right amount? Would you recommend how you live to others? Would you dare say, follow my example on how to handle life? So do your little self-evaluation on how well you think you handle life. If you would like others' input, ask them at the potluck. How do you think I handle life? But here's a verse I would like for us to consider today. Out of 1 Timothy 6, godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Most of the time, we're working on the godliness side. Now, that's the agenda. We want to know what it means to be godly people. We want to know what it means to live godly lives. So most of the time when we're gathered together, looking into God's word, we're asking questions about godliness. But this verse says it's necessary for godliness to be accompanied by something. That if godliness is present but unaccompanied, some of the profit of godliness is lost. Some of the profit of godliness will be missed. So it says godliness needs to be accompanied by contentment. Contentment about what? So here is that same verse again, but followed by the next couple of verses. They help us know what the contentment applies to. So godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Bringing nothing in and taking nothing out, that refers to the course of earthly life. It refers to the framework within which each of us lives out our earthly life. It's the pattern. It's the pattern for my life. Be the pattern for your life. You didn't bring anything in, I didn't bring anything in. I'm not going to leave with anything, you're not going to leave with anything. So it's the outline for our earthly story. It's the course of our earthly lives. And having food and drink refers to the content of life. What life consists of while we walk the course. What stuff you have. So these next couple verses remind us that the contentment that spoke of, that contentment is connected to the course and the content of our earthly life. So godliness needs to be accompanied by contentment with earthly life, with the course of earth, the course of life, that you brought nothing in, can't take nothing out, with the content of life. If you have food and drink, be content. This is the same word that Paul uses in Philippians where he says, I have learned how to be content in all circumstances. He says, I've learned the secret about being content in all circumstances. I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to do with a lot. And I've learned how to go without. I've learned how to get along with little. So I've learned to be content. Same word. In all circumstances. Again, speaking to whatever situation is in his earthly life. So today, I don't want to talk about godliness. Again, most of the time, that's the agenda. But I want to talk about contentment. Contentment with the course and the content of life. Of living life. About the contentment that we should know in all circumstances. about the contentment that we need to have and needs to accompany our godliness. So when you think about how you handle life, when you think about how well you do in handling the course of life and the content of life, do you have contentment in your earthly circumstance, the course of your life, the content of your life? So if we have to be content in whatever circumstances we are, what are our circumstances? What are the circumstances we have to be content in? What is the content and what's the course of our earthly lives? So here, consider a couple major components of earthly course and the content of earthly life. Out of 1 Timothy 4, Paul has just brought up something about marriage and some foods, which some are trying to get people to abstain from for the sake of godliness. Paul doesn't think, well, we should abstain from it, because he says God has created, this is marriage and food, but God has created to be greatly, gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. And then he generalizes the point. Not just marriage and food has God created and means for us to share in and partake in. He says everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. You are going to live out, you are living out your earthly life in God's creation. And everything created by God is good. In your earthly life, all of us are meant to participate in and to enjoy all the things of the Lord's creation. In God's creation, all of you know this, is rich. It's diverse. There are lots of good things to be shared in, to be participated in, to be enjoyed. So just many things that God has created that are good. Fishing. Rivers and lakes. Mountains, sunsets, newly fallen snow, family, jobs, chocolate sundaes, wine, songs, friends, seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, weddings, weekends, thunderstorms, fishing, men and women, babies, little kids, sunny days, rainy nights, cozy places and vast vistas, puppies, faraway places, symphonies, M&Ms, flowers. None of us could make that. None of us. God created it. Redwoods, parties, fishing. Many good things. All of which, none of which to be rejected, God means for us to participate in and to enjoy. You are going to live your life amid the wonders and the goodness of God's creation. There is so much to enjoy, so much to participate in. God is like AM/PM, so much good stuff. So there's that. You're going to live your earthly life amid the goodness, the many good things of God's creation. But there's also this. To Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Do you know the first guy got in trouble for listening to his wife? right there in the Bible. God says to him, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So this is part of what God does in his creation because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. What God has created is still good. But the situation is also changed because of Adam and Eve's sin. God says that living is going to now include some toil. Let's stick with a simple understanding of toil. Toil is blood, sweat, and tears, okay? So living is now going to include some blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to live out your earthly life in a place where the ground is cursed on account of human sin. Only by the sweat of your face will you acquire the food that you need. When the Lord says, in toil you shall eat, he makes toil as common as eating. How many meals do you have every day? Three. Okay, you get ready to have toil three times a day. He makes the toil, the blood, sweat, and the tears as common as eating. Toil is now going to be a routine part of life, as routine as eating. And you're going to have to toil all the days of your life. So the content of your life will include daily toil. You're going to just encounter a lot of trouble and sorrow. And of course, the course of our lives is also affected by sin. And there's some consequence for the course of our life because of sin. All of us are going to return to dust. All of our lives are going to go in a circle. You began as dust. Are you going to end as dust? You came in with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. Nothing is going to come of my earthly life. Nothing's going to come of your earthly life. It's going to be a wash. Of course, all of these things are well documented in the book of the Bible called Ecclesiastes. It's a book about how life is underneath the sun. And Ecclesiastes remind us repeatedly that the course and the content of our lives will be vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Just a little plug, because I think Ecclesiastes is a very important book to know how to live life. And sometimes if you're bored and you like your Bible reading or in your devotions, if you're just looking for a filler, go and read the book of Ecclesiastes and just notice phrases. You know, maybe even memorize phrases. You know, don't worry about the sequence of thought or what's the argument of this passage or what's the context that it's set in. Just read through the book and pick out phrases. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All things are wearisome. What is crooked cannot be straightened. All is vanity and a striving after the wind. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. It's a grievous task that God has given the sons of men to be afflicted with. Tomorrow when you get up to work, go to work. Just say, it's a grievous task that God has given the sons of men to be afflicted with all the days of their life. There is nothing better. There is nothing better under the sun than for a person to be happy in his activities. There's an appointed time for everything. And I could keep going. Hopefully you could keep going. But just sometime read Ecclesiastes and just pull phrases. Worry about the context, the sequence of thought, the argument, none of that. Just notice the phrases. And then say to yourself, such phrases are going to mark the course and the content of my life, of my living. If you note those phrases, you're going to hear many echoes that life is lived in God's good creation. There's all kinds of things to enjoy, all kinds of pleasant things. You'll hear that and see that in many places. Nothing better than to enjoy. You'll also get many reminders that life will be full of toil, full of blood, sweat, and tears. Ecclesiastes uses the word toil more than any other book in the Bible, as it talks about life under the sun. So here's the point. To be a person who has contentment in all circumstances, contentment that you can use then to accompany your godliness, you have to know how to participate in and to enjoy all of God's good creation. You need to know that, number one. And number two, you have to know how to be content with the everyday toil in the coming end, the soon coming end of the earthly. To do both of those things, you have to know how to participate in and enjoy all the wonders and goodness of God's creation. And you have to be content with living in a place where the ground is cursed on your account. And there's toil every day in order to eat. And soon, you go back to dust, taking nothing with you. To be content in all circumstances, you have to know how to do both of those things. Some people are not content because they miss the goodness of God's creation. It's kind of the life's a bitch and then you die. That misses the goodness of God's creation. People who aren't content because they don't know how to participate in and delight in all the good stuff. Sunsets bring no contentment. Purring kittens. Coffee with a friend should bring some delight. A job done by your own hands, just well done. Some satisfaction with the labor of your own hands. A brown paper package wrapped up in string. The release of the pole off of the downrigger. It's a good thing. A new sweatshirt. Or a new dress or a new piece of clothing that you will enjoy wearing. Those kinds of things, you have to be able to say, you know what, life is good. Nothing better to enjoy these things. Nothing better under the sun. And to know and enjoy these things. So some people aren't content because they miss the goodness. Some are not content because they're waiting for the curse to no longer be present. They very much want to enjoy life. They want to enjoy the good things of creation, and they perhaps do at times. Yet they spend a lot of times being anxious, a lot of times being stressed, a lot of times being depressed because they don't want to toil in the vanity of life, either for themselves or for people that they love. So they're waiting for the curse to be over with before they can be content. So they're not content because of all the trouble and all the sorrow that belongs to earthly life. They're not content because of the daily toil, the blood, sweat, and tears that are necessary for us to get bread. And they're not content because they know that it's all going to soon pass. Be over with. It's going to go the way of all the earth, which means gone. It's very possible to be a person who cares about and knows about godliness. You believe Jesus saves sinners. You believe he gives his spirit to dwell within. You believe the kingdom is coming. You believe that Christ is going to be Lord of all, that he is Lord of all. Care about godliness. And yet, spend a lot of time discontent. Discontent about life. Spend a lot of time stressed, upset, anxious about earthly life. You know something of godliness, yet your godliness isn't accompanied by contentment with the course and the content of earthly life. And because your godliness isn't accompanied by contentment, some of the profit that belongs to godliness escapes you, eludes you, or is missed. So I want to just encourage us all. Learn the secret of being content in all circumstances. Don't live in denial or in resistance to what earthly life is. That means, in part, you need to be content with the toil and with the sorrow. Tomorrow there will be plenty of trouble and sorrow, enough to last for that day, I can assure you. But tomorrow will also have opportunity to participate in the good things of God's creation, to share in those things, to enjoy those things. Life under the sun is a wonderful, a sad, a weird thing. I mean, it can be so wonderful to be a parent. So good. Yet to be a parent means that you're just one phone call away from having your life shattered. There's these seasons of life, each with their joys, each with their sorrows. I'm watching my own kids. The season that they're in. Not only are they having weddings, they're going to a lot of weddings. It's hard to get our three couples together now because they always got weddings to go to. Just in that season, either they're getting married or all their friends are getting married. They got all these weddings to go to. Some of you are in a different season. Every weekend you have an athletic event. The athletic contests. You got the soccer vehicle, right? You're just carting people over to athletic contests. You know, later in life, you get a different season. You either go to a lot of funerals or you have one yourself. Life is just a weird, wonderful thing. And each season comes with its trouble, with its sorrows, with good things of God's creation to be enjoyed. Here, for me at least, is just a good summary of the circumstances that all of us need to learn to be content is. Here's something taken out of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, the light is pleasant. It is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. It's a cheerful phrase at the end, isn't it? Circumstances that all of us need to be content in include both light and sun. Include things just so good, so pleasant. Rejoice in it. Enjoy. However many years the Lord gives you, and I hope he gives you many. The shining sun. Just let it be pleasant. And circumstances that we need to be content with include many dark days. Many. And our circumstances include the understanding that soon it's all going to pass away. So be content both the light and with the darkness. Pleasant light, to enjoy it, that there are many dark days. And that everything to come is not going to get better. Everything to come is going to be vanity. So it's important. It's important that your godliness be accompanied by contentment. Contentment with the course of life. Contentment with the content of life. Both for yourself and for others. Sometimes I find it easier to be content with the trouble and sorrow that comes to me, but it's hard to watch it come to Jeff and Erica. It's just hard. We have to know how to be content with the course of earthly life as it comes to me and as it comes to you, as it comes to one another. So contentment involves knowing how to do life under the sun, how to do life in God's good creation, participating in, delighting in, rejecting nothing that God has created, that God has given. Contentment involves also living out a life amid the consequences of human sin, the toil that belongs to all the endeavors, all the activities under the sun, the sweat of your face that's necessary. It means being content with the circular course that you began as dust and you will return to dust. It's going to go in a circle. It means being content with that. So learn to be content in all circumstances. I asked Steve, and he gave me permission to share a story about his mom. I think the story, at least for me, it captures some of what contentment in earthly circumstance looks like. Steve's mom was Carol Kaczynski. Some of you knew her. She was a godly woman. She was graceful. She was eloquent. She had a capable and a devout mind. I remember multiple conversations that I had with her about something of the scripture that she was thinking of, and usually it happened in parking lots, I don't know why. But I had great conversations with Carol Kaczynski in the parking lot, just as she shared some of her own understanding and insight, thinking about God's word. Late in life, she suffered from Alzheimer's. So the Alzheimer's, the progress of Alzheimer's marked the final years of her life. Gradually, she experienced the loss of just the normal function of her mind. Sad and heartbreaking to watch. Most of us probably have had close connection to somebody experiencing Alzheimer's, and that's that person loses the capacity and ability that they had in their mind all their life. You know, it's just sad and heartbreaking to see it be gone. But Steve tells a story about Carol. When Carol had already experienced a lot of the effects of Alzheimer's, you know, the times when her mind was lucid were already becoming fairly infrequent. And Carol knew that she was on, that she was going to walk the path of Alzheimer's disease. So she knew that all that happens to Alzheimer's patients was going to happen to her. There was a little family gathering, and she was asked by one of her kids, "Mom, any prayer requests?" And Carol responded very simply and very clearly, "Lord, help me be good." And Steve says we immediately understood that to mean Carol knew that her earthly course was the difficult and sad path of Alzheimer's. She was content with that being her course. Her prayer was not to escape the course, but she wanted help from the Lord to walk that course with grace and with peace. Lord, help me be good. She didn't want to be a burden to her kids, to her family, to her loved ones.
she certainly understood, had experienced in others, what Alzheimer's does and how Alzheimer's patients can be. And she said, that's my course. I'm okay. I'm content with the course. Lord, help me do that difficult, hard, earthly course with grace, and in your peace. Whatever your circumstances are right now, include all of them. I encourage you to say, Lord, help me be good. Help me to be the person that's rejoicing in the goodness of your creation. And help me be a person who's embracing the toil, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the sorrow, and the trouble that marks life under the sun. Lord, help me be good. Help me be content in all circumstances. So find that contentment in all your circumstances and then let it accompany your godliness. Because when godliness is accompanied by contentment, there's great gain in the godliness. So I hope that stirs your thought and as you evaluate how you handle life, that all of us should have as part of our goal, part of our purpose. Lord, I want to learn the secret of being content in all circumstances. And to enjoy your good creation. So many good things. Enjoy your good creation in the toil, the sorrow, the trouble, in the certain end that marks earthly pilgrimages. Lord, I'm content with that too. Help me be good. Let's pray together. Lord, we are a people who desire to learn of you godliness. Father, knowing that you have worked, Father, and given gifts, brought salvation, that we might, Father, know godliness before you. Father, we pray that even as we grow in godliness, that you would find us to be people whose godliness is accompanied by contentment. Contentment that we came in with nothing and have to leave with nothing. Contentment with the content of our lives. Father, that by toil, Father, we get daily bread. Father, that the days of darkness are many, and that we soon fly away. Father, may our godliness just be accompanied by contentment in all of our circumstances. Father, and all of us just join, Father, with Carol in asking that in all our circumstances you'd help us be good. Help us to walk in those circumstances with grace, amidst your peace, with contentment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.